and speak about the end of the world and the final judgment. So, sorry, but I am. Because it's part of a series that we've been doing on different days. So we're going through the great Bible doctrines. So we've done the first day, creation, the worst day, the fall of man, the best day, the day that Jesus died to save us. And today, we're doing the last day. So here's a little video clip for you. Oh, saved by the claw. Isn't that awesome? Isn't it nice to be saved at the last minute? Isn't it good to know that Jesse and Woody are still alive and with us to this day? Fantastic. If you've got your Bibles, you can open them at Matthew chapter 24. And Matthew chapter 24 and 25 are the sort of Jesus' most detailed descriptions of the end of the world, the last day, when he's coming back and so on. And it's interesting little context. Jesus is coming out of the temple. He's coming out of Jerusalem. He's having a lot of conflict with the leaders. A lot of fighting probably isn't the wrong word, but a lot of arguments and conflict and trouble. And he's just had one of these big encounters with them. You know, adrenaline's high. And he's walking off. And as he's walking off, as usual, the disciples pick the wrong time to say the wrong thing. And they say, Lord, look at these beautiful buildings. And look at these lovely stones. And isn't it nice? And Jesus said, I don't know how he looked at them, but he must have looked sometimes as if to say, how can you be talking about that? And Jesus said to them, you see these stones? There isn't going to be left one of them on another. All of this, it's all coming down. Which sort of woke them up a bit. When they got up, when they went down the valley and came up the other side, up to the Garden of Gethsemane, they were chatting to him. And they sat down looking at the city and they said, tell us, Lord, when will this happen? And when will you come back? What will happen at the end of the age? What's it going to be like? And he goes into this fascinating passage. We haven't got time to read it all, but we'll read some little bits. But here's the little bit I really want to read to you. So it's from verse... Oh, I'm wondering why I can't see it. No one... Here's what he says in verse 36. No one knows about that day or hour. Not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before Noah, people were eating and drinking, marrying and being given in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in one field, one will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding at the handmill, one will be taken, the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know what day your Lord will come. But understand this, that if the owner of the house had known what time the thief was coming, he would have kept awake and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Well, happy Mother's Day. I think I've got a PowerPoint somewhere. Is that all right? With a nice Mother's Day picture, they see some lightning and clouds and judgment. That's a real photograph, that of that volcano that went off in Iceland. Just thought I'd cheer up for Mother's Day. Anyway, here's some things worth remembering and about the last day. That is that there actually is one. There is a last day. Enjoy this Mother's Day, because it might be the last in human history, just to cheer you up. I hope you enjoyed Christmas, because that might have been the last one. And, you know, enjoy your birthday this year, because that might be your last one. That's the truth about human history. It's not the circle of life going round and round forever. It's a line. It's on a timeline. It didn't always exist, this earth, this creation. It started on the first day. It will end, says Jesus, over and over again, unexpectedly, on the last day. It has a beginning, it has a middle, and it has an end. In the middle, Jesus came to save us. And really, our lives now, between now and the end, should be absolutely consumed with winning as many people as possible to Jesus. The more we know him, the more that will be true of us. Jesus is coming back. It says that 380-odd times in the New Testament alone. Well, that's a lot of times. I think it mentions baptism about 14 times. Discipleship about 17 times. The return of Jesus, 380-odd times. That's a lot of mentions. And the early church constantly spoke about the fact that Jesus is coming back. They spoke about this amazing day. There is a day, that day, the scriptures call it, or the day, or the day of judgment, or the last day. You know, have you ever been in an exam? One of our kids was in an exam not too long ago where they felt as though they'd done their best. And then a couple of minutes before the exam was due to finish, they turned over and saw the other half of the question. It's terrible, isn't it? And they thought, oh, I haven't got time. But you know, when an exam's up, it's up, isn't it? When that little second hand hits wherever it's meant to hit. Right, put your pens down. That's it. Put your pens down. There is a day when God's going to say it to everyone. Put your pens down. Put your pints down. Put your golf clubs down. Put your guns down. Everyone. That's it. That's the last day. And that's an absolute reality. Something for which we should really be ready. Jesus said we need to be ready for that. And, you know, it's not like a bunch of aliens coming to Earth that we can take on to survive. It's not like Hollywood, is it? Hollywood always produces alien movies, don't they? Where aliens invade. But man's wisdom and power, and even though they've got more power and technology, somehow, because we're us, we can pull it together and we will survive. You know, the President of the United States usually has a little speech or something. Everyone goes up and they find a way to survive this alien invasion. Listen, Jesus is coming back, but it's not an alien invasion. He owns the place. The landlord is returning. It's his. Imagine having a party. The music's pumping. Everyone's having a good time. Yeah. The house is getting a bit wrecked. No problem. There's a knock on the door. Oh, it'll be the neighbours again. They're always giving us... Ignore them. Knock on the door. In the end, someone says, go and have a look, see who it is. You look out the curtain. Get the music off. It's the landlord. The landlord is coming back. The Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, who actually owns everything. And here's some things you need to know about the last day. First of all, when? Well, no one knows. Jesus said, no one knows about that day or the hour. Not even the angels in heaven. It's like, it's top secret. Or the Son, but only the Father. The Father knows. He knows that day. He knows that date. And you know something? The date is actually set. Paul says in Acts 17 about this day, when they preach the gospel, the apostles always preach about the end. Because it's actually good news, you know. It's good news, the end. The day of judgment isn't all bad news. It's only bad news for evil. It's good news for the poor. It's good news for the oppressed. It's good news for those who suffer. It's good news for people who are ill. It's good news for those who are willing to turn to God and repent. Very good news. It's the end of all our troubles, actually. It's good news. So it's always part of the gospel preaching. And Paul says in Acts 17, he says, in the past, God looked over people's sins. But now, he commands all men everywhere to repent. Why? Because he set a day on which he'll judge the world through Jesus Christ. He set the day. So the date is set. You know, when a date's set, something's going to happen, isn't it? If the date's not set, it's just a theory, isn't it? You're getting married. Yeah, we're getting married. Really, you've been engaged for 14 years. Is it going to happen? Yeah, we're getting married. Oh, yeah, we've set the date. Oh, that's different, isn't it? Well, if you've set the date, it's countdown. Brothers and sisters, it's countdown to our exit from this planet and Jesus coming back and us living in new heaven and new earth with him. 2,000 years ago, the Apostle John wrote to the early church and said, "Brothers, this is the last hour." What would he write today? He'd say, "Brothers, these are the last moments of the last hour." This is the end of the end. It is. But no one knows the actual date. And Jesus said, no one would. He does give us some signs. He says, and you can read them yourself in Matthew chapter 24 there. He mentions all these signs. They said, when will it be? And he said, well, there'll be these signs happening increasingly. And he called these signs labor pains. These are the beginning of the labor pains. Ladies, you know what that's like. Once your labor pains start, that's it, isn't it? There's no going back. In fact, when you're pregnant, there's no going back, really. But when the labor pains start, that's it. It's going to get worse before it gets better. And that's what Jesus is saying about the earth, about creation, about the nations. It's going to get worse before it gets better. But it is going to get better. Incredibly good. God's giving birth to a new world, new heaven and a new earth. But there's going to be some labor pains. And Jesus mentions what those labor pains are. He says wars, famine, the sea doing unusual things so that people are afraid of the sea. He mentions terrorism. The word he uses is uprisings and rebellions, but it's like terrorism. Family breakdown, earthquakes, a general increase in wickedness, the love of people growing cold. There'll be false religions and false prophets deceiving the nations, and Christians will be hated by everyone. Happy Mother's Day. And Jesus said, when you see these signs, these are signs that it's like labor. It's going to happen. Nothing can stop it. And he said, when you see these signs, it's like when you look at a fig tree and the branches become tender and the leaves begin to open up and something's happening. And even though it's cold outside, you know what's happening, don't you? Summer is coming. Yay! Summer is coming. Just turn to someone next to you and say, summer is coming. And it is. Do you know what? It might be 4 degrees and snowing outside. But here's the truth. There are buds on the trees, isn't there? There are some little leaves. There's daffodils in our garden. There's snowdrops all over the place. There's no stopping spring. You can have a very cold day. Oh, winter's back. I was saying that on the door this morning. Looks like winter's back. We know it isn't. Actually, it can't come back. You might have a cold spell, but there's no stopping spring. It will come. Jesus says, when you see these things happening, and does anyone recognize these things happening today a lot? Maybe even more than normal. Okay, he said, when you see these things happening, let me quote him. He says, now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see all these things, you know that he is near at the very door. Interesting. So we don't know when it is. Also, we know that it's going to happen suddenly. It won't be a general, a sort of a meltdown or a breakdown or these signs will keep happening. Wars, rumors of wars, signs, all that. But one day it will just happen. And Jesus said it'll be unexpected. The end will be unexpected. His return will be unexpected. And it'll be suddenly. He says that, you know, just as it was in the days of Noah, people were eating and drinking and marrying and just living up to the day Noah entered the ark. It's interesting. And on that day, it might have been a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I don't know what day the flood happened, but it was a day. And there's a day set in God's calendar when all of this life and world will just change instantly, forever. Instantly. And it will be a shock for most people. And you know what? It'll probably be a shock for us, but hopefully not too much of a shock. And Jesus wants us to be ready to the point of at least knowing it's going to happen. At least knowing it's going to happen. So that when massive things happen and stars are shaken and the earth shakes, and the worst and biggest and scariest things happening around you, you know, Jesus said to his saints, lift up your heads, look up, you know your redemption is near. It's going to be good for you. That's what he says. He says he sends out his angels to gather his people. So it's going to be good for us, but it's going to happen suddenly, and that's just a fact. Have you ever been on a holiday or away on a trip somewhere, and the first couple of days seem to go forever, don't they? You say to each other, we've only been here a couple of days. Oh, I feel like I've been here a week, don't you? And then you know what happens. The week starts going on in the middle, you just get into the middle of the week, then all of a sudden, it's the last day tomorrow. No! Because the end always comes quick, doesn't it? The beginning's slow, but the end is just, it's the last day tomorrow. I can't believe it. It's just come so quick. The last day comes suddenly. That's the truth. And Jesus said it would be just as it was in the days of Noah. And you know, in the days of Noah, Jesus had an interesting sentence there. He says, and they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. Now, what he's saying there is they didn't know when it would happen. And perhaps they didn't really believe it would happen. But they were warned that it would happen. Because Noah was a preacher of righteousness, it says. And he'd been building that ark for a long time. And that ark was a sign to everyone that a flood is coming. It was a sign to everyone that the world in which they lived, it would not remain like that. There was another world after the flood. And it was a sign to everyone to repent. Noah preached repentance to people. But Jesus said, the day Noah entered the ark, they knew nothing about what would happen. It's almost like people are going to be shocked because, I mean, have people never heard that there'll be an end of the world? They have, haven't they? You know, they joke about it, don't they? The end is nigh. Yeah, well, do you know what? The end is nigh. It's not a billboard joke. It's a fact. But it's a joke. The end. Noah. The ark. People will be horrifically shocked when these things actually happen. When Jesus of Nazareth actually returns on clouds. When every eye will see him. It will happen. And God can say to the world, you have been warned. Every church is like an ark. Preaching salvation, encouraging people to come into a relationship with God. The doors are open, the doors are open. Come in and be saved. You're welcome. But there will come a day when the door isn't open anymore. The door will be shut and it's possible for it to be too late. Another thing that will happen is that there'll be a great separation. On that day, the last day, there'll be an absolute separation between one person and another, which is not comfortable, but it's just a fact, between people who are saved and people who are not saved. He goes on to say in chapter 25, he said, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory and all the nations will be gathered before him and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left hand. That's serious separation. Right now we just live together with everyone, don't we? We just all bustle around together. We're all shopping in Tesco. Everyone looks the same, but we're not the same. There are two kinds of people on earth. Those who are right with God through the blood of Jesus Christ and those who aren't. And they're the only two types of people on earth, actually. Skin colour, how much money you've got, is irrelevant. What matters is whether you're right with God or not. There's a great separation. And Jesus said, two men will be working in the same field. One will be taken, one will be left. There's a separation. And Jesus told a lot of parables about wheat and weeds growing together that look exactly the same. And you know, and the farmers in the parable said, should we pull up the weeds? And the farmer said, no, because you might pull up the real wheat as well. In other words, do you know what? We can't judge. You can't judge accurately looking around this room. You can't judge people outside. It's not our job. to go around sorting other people out and ripping up the tares. And that, because Jesus said, no, you'll make a mistake. You'll rip up the good as well. He said, listen, at the end of the age, let the angels do it. The angels will go out and they'll gather into my barn those who are mine. And the weeds and the people who just look like they are will be burned. That's what he said. And do you know something? The most important thing you can ever do is just be right with God yourself, isn't it? Doesn't matter what you feel like this morning. If you're right with God, you're doing all right. You might be going through terrible suffering. You might be confused. You might be trouble in your home, trouble in your marriage, trouble with your family. Do you know what? If you're right with God, you'll be all right. You'll be all right. Our kids got a coconut yesterday from the shops. Well, why do you ever bother buying coconuts? But it's sort of like a novelty, isn't it, for us? And one of them brought a coconut home. And I was looking at it. It was sort of sat looking at me on the kitchen side. Have you seen coconuts? They've got like two little eyes close together and a mouth and a little bit of hair on top. I thought, it's me. It's looking at me. I thought, it looks just like me. And then we opened it. We you know, poked them through the eye and through the other eye and poured the milk into a little glass. We were all tasting it. Ooh, coconut milk. Ooh. And then we got a hammer. You know, and we just started demolishing the kitchen for some reason. No, we didn't. We hit the coconut, smashed it in the sink, and which was a mistake because there was a bit of spaghetti still in there. But anyway, and then we got the coconut out, and how white are coconuts? What a fantastic white! I mean, whiter than white paint, whiter than snow, shockingly white. I was looking, I thought, absolutely awesome. And I was sat on the kitchen table, I thought, yeah, you know what? That is like me. That is like me. That's what colour I am on the inside. How about you? I'm absolutely white on the inside. I can look a mess outside. It doesn't really matter. I can look like every other coconut. Oh, no, that's not a good illustration. Look like anyone else. But inside is what matters. And when I came to the cross when I was 17 years old, a punk rocker, and I gave my life to Jesus, and I was born again, I was given the gift of Jesus' righteousness. How white do you think Jesus' life was? Very white. That's what you're given, brothers and sisters. That's what's been given to you. The life of Jesus. The sinless obedience of Jesus is given you. And you might look like everyone else on the outside, but you're white on the inside. Other people can look awesome. They can look absolutely awesome. They can be wealthy. They can be healthy. But if inside you're as black as coal, it's not going to help you in the long run. Make sure that you are saved and in the kingdom and receiving and enjoying the righteousness of Jesus Christ on the inside. And, you know, let it come out as well. Don't envy wicked people, brothers and sisters. Don't envy the wicked. The writer of Psalm 73 says that I almost stumbled the next generation because I envied the wicked. It's possible to do it, isn't it? The Psalm writer says that I looked at the wicked and they don't have any problems. He said, read it for yourself, it's a fascinating Psalm. He said, they're always healthy. They're doing all these wicked things. They get away with it. They don't have any suffering that I have. And he starts looking at his own life and thinking, it's pants. And he says, you know, I've washed my hands in innocence. I've tried to do the right thing. I've suffered for it. It never works for me. Everything works for the wicked. And then he stops and he said, if I'd have kept talking like this, I'd have deceived the next generations. And he said, this was oppressive to me until I entered the sanctuary of God. Until I went to church. He said, then I understood their final destination. And he starts pitying them and having compassion on them instead of being jealous of them. Never envy anyone who doesn't know Jesus. Pity them, pray for them, love them, win them, but never follow them. Never envy them. Brothers and sisters, you're the richest people on the planet. the richest by a long, long way. Be grateful for who you are and what you've got. Richard Buers was in a taxi one day, and have I got time for this story? Okay. Richard Buers was in a taxi one day in London. He's the pastor of a big church in London, vicar of All Souls, Langham Place. And the taxi driver saw his collar. He started laughing at him and said, "You Christians, you give up everything. You give away your money. You pray. You spend all your life trying to serve God. And in the end, you're going to die and there's nothing there anyway." And Richard Buers, he's a great evangelist. He started laughing as well. He went, "Yeah, you know what? Maybe you're right." The taxi driver got a bit interested. He said, "Maybe there isn't a God. Maybe I'm going to die and that's it." He said, "But you know what? I still win. Because every day I wake up believing that I'm forgiven for everything I've ever done wrong. And every day I have this hope that when I die, I'm going to go to this awesome place, heaven. And every day I'm filled with love for my family. I forgive those who've hurt me. And I just live the best life anyway." The taxi driver was like a bit shocked. He said, "But what if you're wrong and I'm right?" Taxi driver was sweating now. He said, "There you are, driving a taxi around London all your life, breathing in the fumes. You don't know when you'll die, and you better hang on as long as you can. Because if you're right and there's nothing afterwards, you've still wasted your life. But if I'm right, you're going to drive a taxi around London all your life. Then you're going to die and have a terrible shock. You're going to come face to face with the person you've laughed at and rejected all your life and find out that you could have been forgiven and you could have been saved." The taxi driver put the radio on. La, 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 started doing a U-turn. Richard Buers said, "If only he could have done a U-turn in his thinking." Of course he could. He can if he wants. Anyone can turn. Anyone can be saved. You can if you want to be. Okay, quickly then. How can we be ready? I've got three more points, but it's good. I'll do them, you know, I'll do like one every half hour, so you'll be all right. How can I be ready? First of all, wake up and repent now. Paul said God set a date where he's going to judge the world, so he's commanded all men to repent now. Brothers and sisters, whatever you're going to do in your life, do it now. If you're going to give any money, give it now. If you're going to forgive anyone, forgive them now. If you're going to walk with God and do great things, well, do it now. If you're going to keep trusting God through suffering, be doing it now. Bless you. Be doing it now. Don't put anything off. Respond to God with all your heart now. Wake up. Jesus said, don't be drunk. Don't let this day overtake you. He said, if the owner of the house had known what time the thief was going to come, he just kept the lights on, wouldn't you? He'd just stay up and wait. No one's breaking into this house. Jesus is saying, look, don't let this happen. And though you don't know when it'll happen, you know now that it will happen. So there's no excuses. You be ready. You stay awake and do what you need to do with God now. You know, don't be planning your next holiday until you've sorted out your relationship with God. Don't plan your pension and not your salvation. Don't meet the golf course if you should be at church. Don't do the wrong things, do the right things. Seek God, find him, walk with him now, because it's absolutely essential that you do. Don't be drunk and let that day overcome you like a thief. Jesus said, don't be weighed down by the cares of this life, just and then miss something massive that is happening and coming close. We had an auntie once, well, we've still got her, Auntie Betty, who had trouble sleeping, so the doctor prescribed her sleeping tablets. She started taking these sleeping tablets, and while she was on them, she was burgled. The thief came into her room, and the horrific thing is, she sort of knew he was there in a drunken sort of state because of these tablets, but she couldn't do anything about it. She couldn't even wake up her husband next to her. But she knew it was happening. That's awful, isn't it? It's awful to be drugged and drunk to the point of knowing I should be doing something, but not able to repent. Wake up. Repent. Act now. Do what you need to do now. No excuses. Just live for God with all your heart now. And don't be drugged and drunk by the cares of this life. Yeah, there is a lot of cares. Life's hard work. But don't let life itself cause you to miss the really big things. Secondly, live in the departure lounge. So, you know, just live ready to go. Live with your watch set to heavenly time. And, you know, the Bible says, put three things in heaven. Your money, your heart, and your mind. That's what the New Testament teaches. It says, set your mind on things above where Christ is. It says elsewhere, set your heart on heavenly things. And Jesus said, store up your treasure in heaven. There's three things that need to be there and not just here. In heaven, stored up ahead of you. Heart, where's your heart this morning? Mind, where's your thoughts always going? And money? Often when I go to a different country, I don't change my watch. I can't be bothered. You know, if I'm going to Spain with Bob or France or Sardinia or somewhere, or even Estonia, if you're in and out of these countries in a weekend or 5 days or something, sometimes I don't unpack. The more you travel, the less you take. Do you know that? The more you get used to travelling, you end up taking hardly anything. And I can't be bothered hanging my shirts up. Sorry, Margaret. And I just... Do you know why? Because I don't belong there. I'm going home. My watch is set to British time because I'm British. I'm a citizen here. I don't bother learning the language and get involved with the culture. I don't belong there. I belong somewhere else. Brothers and sisters, you don't belong here. You belong somewhere else. Don't have all your heart stored up in this world. Don't give it all your attention and time and have your heart fixed where it's going to be forever. Have your clock set to that time because we're citizens of another city that hasn't arrived yet. It's coming down with Jesus when he comes. And lastly, choose to be chosen. You know, if you're going to be separated, make sure you're separated on the right side and you just choose to be chosen. The great thing is, the judge of the end of the world, his name is Jesus. All judgment, he said, has been passed on to me. That's good to know, isn't it? The merciful, pierced, beautiful hands of Jesus will decide what happens to this earth. And he'll do right. And he'll do the loving, compassionate, powerful, beautiful thing. And we'll all applaud. He's the judge. And he's the righteous judge. He's the only one who's got the right to do it. And you know what? You just take the bypass. There's a bypass so that you never come into that judgment. There is. Jesus said, if anyone believes in me, he's crossed over from death to life, and he'll never be condemned. It's like heading on a big road towards a city that's on fire, and all the lanes are heading towards the city, and then you see a little bypass. I can go around it. You can just go around it and keep going if you want. Well, indicate and come off then. Choose to be chosen. That's your choice. God would love you to go all the way with him. Well, you can, but only you can make that happen. And, you know, act. Act now. Do what needs to be done for God. Someone said, you know, Jesus is coming. Look busy. I mean, it's funny, isn't it? Jesus is coming. Look busy. But you know what? He's not bothered how busy we are. He's not looking for workers like that. He's looking for worshippers and people who have a genuine relationship with him. That's what he wants. So, you know, let's do it. Well, we can. Don't miss it. Don't be shut outside. Don't let it be a surprise. Don't let it be a shock. Be ready for the last day because it's really important. A few years ago, me and Mag went up to Scotland for our anniversary for a weekend. And Margaret loves classical music. And I'd booked us in to see this orchestra, this Russian orchestra. And also this pianist, this famous pianist from South America. Absolutely awesome. This woman's meant to be amazing. But do you know what? We set off too late from Teesside. And I was trying to speed Maggie up. It was hard work. And eventually we finally got in the car and finally got up there to this place. And do you know what? The doors were shut. We went in. We'd paid the price. The tickets were paid for. And they said, once it started, you can't go in. We went in later and saw the orchestra, but we missed the pianist. We were devoured, you know. They gave us two chairs and sat us outside the shut doors. We could hear it, but we were outside. Don't let that happen for you. Don't leave things too late. If you've got decisions to make, things to change in your life, great, do it. Never be afraid to make decisions that will move you closer to God. Let's pray. Why don't we stand together, stretch our legs. Lord, we just want to thank you for being the awesome God that you are, for loving us with an everlasting love. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the last day that we can be ready for it. Lord, though it comes suddenly, we pray that we wouldn't be shocked, but would be ready. And you know what? If you need to give your life to Jesus Christ this morning, if you need to give your life to him so that you know that you're saved and that you're white inside, or if you want to come back to him, you know you've really slidden away from him and you want to come right back with him and be right to him, you just lift your hand now where you are, and I'm just going to pray a special prayer for you that God puts his hand in your hand. That's great. Just keep your hands up. Anyone else? You want to be ready for that last day? This is last opportunity that I'm going to pray. You just put your hand up high so that Jesus can take hold of it. That's great. Lord Jesus, you see these hands and the hearts they represent. And I ask you now, Lord, to take hold of every life reaching out to you and save them for eternity through your blood. Thank you that you died on the cross. You rose again to be our awesome Saviour. Thank you for the gift of eternal life. And Lord, we ask you to bless every person in this room. You can put your hands down now. And fill us with your spirit and help us be ready for you. Amen.